With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to this week's KLNS Rugby Podcast as we take a look back at the European action from the weekend gone by in a mixed bag for the provinces. Munster bowed out sickly but not poorly. There were wins for Leinster in the Aviva Stadium, while Ulster and Connacht won in France, not France winning in Ulster or whatever. Joining me tonight, we have a Leinster fan and an Ulster fan, rather jubilant, joining me in the form of David Cordial and Adam Latham, respectively. So, Adam, David, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gail.
It's always good to have you on, lads, first and foremost. And for anyone listening, you can catch us on YouTube. You can catch us across all podcast platforms on the go, if that is of your persuasion as well. But we will start with Sunday's prime clash in Franklin's Gardens as Munster travelled to face Premiership leaders Northampton, despite a stomach virus which was confirmed after the game to have knocked the squad for six. Munster were gallant throughout but fell 24-14 to the Saints. David, I'll start with yourself. It's not to be for Munster. They bow out. It feels like too soon, but like the context is, you know, and the pages and pages worth of context here is that it was kind of an impressive performance, all things being equal.
Yeah, I mean, considering everything that they've had to face into, I mean, this has been a tough season for Munster, injury-wise, and it's a real gut punch, literally, that when they finally start to get a couple of lads back from injury, they get hit by this seemingly squad-wide illness. I think the specific lads who missed out on the day were RJ Snyman. I know Craig Casey was unwell but still played. But if the virus is what I think people are suspecting it is, it's the kind of thing that even when you're over it, it's going to take you about 2 weeks to go back to full federal. I think that was really reflected in the fact that for the first 60 minutes of the game, it was neck and neck. There was really nothing between the two of them. Players like Simon Zebo, who've gotten a lot of shtick in the past for not delivering what they've delivered in the past, stepped up massively. I thought he in particular was phenomenal, but it just seemed from that 60-minute mark on, with the best will in the world, the seven-odd guys who weren't substituted off just didn't have enough to stay in the game. And, you know, to be fair, at the end of the day, Northampton are top of the Premier League and they're not there for no reason. So it was always going to be a tough gig for Munster. I thought they were phenomenally well supported based on the shots from the crowd and the sounds you could hear. It's a heartbreaking end to their European season, but I think if there's any solace to be taken from it, it's that they can refocus their minds very firmly on defending their URC title now. Not to be for them this year, but you know, they've got a good squad, and next year, if they don't annoy whatever god they annoyed this year, they might have a much better shot.
Yeah, we must have gotten a lucky rabbit's foot and just buried it somewhere, I feel like, and not realized the ramifications of it. It's a weird one, but like, again, I'm going to be writing a piece on Munster this week for my own site, and a lot of what's in my thought process now, kind of the sober thoughts, regardless of drink or otherwise, but the sober thoughts is I'm not mad. Like, I am proud of the performance for what it was on face value. It could have been better, absolutely. Like, Munster could have easily scored 3-4 tries in that game, and it's a very different game. But at the same time, do Saints raise their game if Munster scored first, or if Munster had gotten a bit of luck in the second half, be it with a charge down or an intercept, which did look likely every once in a while, maybe Saints hit right back, because they are a quality team. I think they're a bad matchup for Munster as well. You know, they play with a three lock pack. They've got, big loose head prop, big hooker there. It's disappointing, but I'm not angry. And on that, Adam, context is important with these things. As an Ulster fan, and the season that they've had, and as it's relatable in some regard.
It is relatable.
This doesn't feel like the usual of floundering Munster, let themselves down. It's none of that, is it?
No, I think with all the virus, and also you have to look at positions like Northampton are having the season of their dreams at the minute. You look at their players and, you look at especially Six Nations performances as well. You think of Laws and stuff like that, Mitchell, it came off the bench, but still, do you know what I mean? I think for Munster, views are having a more unlucky season than we are, almost. As in player injury-wise, not off-the-field stuff, but on-the-field stuff. But you still are, fourth in the URC. So, you have to take give and take. And I especially feel like the way that the round 16 works now is that you have to show up on that day rather than... It's just very unfortunate. Basically, what I'm trying to say, it's very unfortunate from the sickness and also all the injuries that have came across this season. I read that RG Snyman has never started at Thurman Park, and there was that big tweet this week about it, about all the stats. And it's an interesting one, because how is he going to fare with that type of pressure at Leinster? Whereas Munster, you won a URC, yous have done really well last season. This season, yous are doing particularly well given all the injuries and everything else. But I think yous have bowed out pretty good, because Northampton and Franklin Gardens seems pretty formidable. And yous played well enough, as David said, to about 60 minutes. And then that's when it hits you. But, if Craig Casey was still sick playing, do you know what I mean?
There's an element of pride about that as well. Yeah. I don't know what David thought. I don't know what anyone of non-Munster fans thought. But of those I spoke to, Craig Casey, you couldn't have asked for any more of him. And that's the one thing about him. And it's one reason why I do like the idea of him as a potential Munster captain going forward. He will give it 110%. He will go to Shannon, or maybe not to Young Munster as a Shannon man, but you go to Shannon on a weekend, or you go to Thomond on a weekend, and you help out with minis, and he'll be around the place. He's always one of the first and last lads in terms of training, first in, last out. And he emptied himself. And he, in some ways, I think Craig epitomised Munster's performance today. Was he perfect? No. Was he getting swallowed up at times by big men? The likes of Laws. I thought the open side, whose name slips my mind. I have it here 2 seconds now. Ludlam, that's it. I thought he was getting swallowed up by these guys. Sam Graham as well, the number 8. And yet, he kept coming back. He had some really clever kicks. He passed really well. That snipe in the lead-up to the first try, I think it was, or maybe it was the Sean O'Brien try. O'Brien or Haley's try, I don't know which. That snipe was really important, because it got Munster a bit of go forward after really sloppy phase ball on the last possession. And, that's what you want to see. And, I was going to mention anyway, I'll just get on to it now. Tyke Byrne, he came out after the game and said he was one of the ones that was sick. You would not have noticed watching it. It was vintage Tyke Byrne. I know, David, you mentioned it when we spoke after the game. You can just always rely on him. He's just always there. He always turns up. He is omnipresent. It's fair to say now at this stage. And just looking through his stats, he won 4 lineups. Okay, fair enough. He made 13 carries in the game, and he made, I think it's 7 tackles. Second out. I don't have it here. Sorry. 6 tackles. Sorry.
6 tackles, yeah.
Yeah, it's a really solid performance. Peter Manny did everything he could. I thought Sean O'Brien was really good in the wing. And it's not fashionable to say it, but Stephen Archer, at 35 years of age, as Munster's 4th choice tight head prop, went 80 minutes in the European round of 16 game against 2 behemoths. on the Northampton ball. And the very first scrum, Munster won a penalty out of, because I don't care what anyone says, it was pure cute tourism. He knew your man was going to try and smash him. He took that little delay and straight down. And it's, that's what you want to see. And like, I'll probably talk about it in the article during the week and on the Red Army podcast. Make sure to check that out, about where Munster stand heading on to the rest of the season now. But from an individual standpoint, from a coaching standpoint, unbelievable. And just before, because I want to talk about Northampton as well, because they are one of the dormant favourites, I feel like. The support was phenomenal. You know, myself and David, we know lads who were there. Adam, you've probably seen it on Twitter as well. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a sea of red in Franklin's Gardens. Yes, red stands out more than green, and the old cliche of Munster fans wear red more than other fans wear their colours, but it was unreal. And it was a credit to the fans, or a credit to the team and to the club. And there's always this talk when Munster lose about disconnects and the club versus the province, and there'll always be that. There's that in every province, but I think today, it wasn't like the Sharks game last year. It wasn't like, you know, even the Toulouse game 2 years ago, it wasn't the same, you know, because that was in Dublin and that was on penalties and it was really, really weird.
Yeah.
This, there was a lot of positives to take from it. It's shit. It stings. I hate talking about it. Like, I don't want to be here talking about this game, but I couldn't ask for any more. And that's the thing. David, I might get your take on things as well.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to add as well to your point about the clever scrummaging of Stephen Archer. One of the things I've really been enjoying about the addition of the South Africans to the URC and now to the European Champions Cup is that we get South African commentators on. And there are not many people in the world who enjoy rugby as much as South African commentators enjoy rugby. And there was, I think it was in the Bulls-Leon game, one of them had a great line where he was talking about a scrum where a similar thing happened, where an older prop, I think it was Brock Harris, got the better of a much younger this. Man.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he said, youth and exuberance is no match for old age and treachery. And I just thought that was an excellent line. Yeah. So,
and there's that element in AIL as well, because I know there's lads like Scott Wilson, who's doing really well at Ulster, who was struggling AIL. I know Paddy McCarthy, Jack Boyle, done really well for Leinster this season. They're struggling AIL. Like, there is this thing in scrummaging sometimes where the old guy, the old dog, just has a couple of tricks up his sleeves every once in a while. And they just know.
We used to have Michael Bent with us. You know, that man was in his mid-30s. And yeah, I mean, was he the fastest around the park? No. Was he the best ball carrier in the world? No. But he could win his scrum penalties all day long. And yeah, there's definitely something to be said for an older lad with a lot more nous in a scrummaging pack.
And one last thing on scrums, because I know we're three small young guys talking about scrummaging, but one last thing before I move off. I thought David Flatman was fantastic today on commentary. I'm a big fan of his anyways. I thought himself and Dunica, they work so well together. You know, I don't know who was on ITV. I didn't have ITV. They just bounced well, you know, and they, there was a bit of crack without it being overbearing. The scrum talk was really good. The line-out talk was really good. And that helps. And again, I've watched so many of these games from Munster where there's Irish commentators or English commentators and they're sticking it in and they're just giving out about everything. Those lads were really refreshing. I don't think there was a single negative comment apart from Finn Smith's kick. But I think that was more of a laugh because, you know, I think he'd laugh at that himself during the week as well. David, I want to get on to you because Northampton are on the same side of the draw as Leinster. They host the Bulls next. That game is on next Sunday night at 8 o'clock. So the Bulls don't really have as much time to acclimatise, but probably makes sense because they play the following Saturday again down South Africa against Munster, coincidentally. Personally, I think Northampton are a very good matchup for Leinster. I think there's not a lot there for Leinster to be scared of. I look at that midfield. Yes, Munster could have done more to disrupt, but I think Leinster will have more than enough. But just from your perspective, watching them, knowing that you might be playing them down the line, do you think we've seen enough to assume that they can make that rare final if it was to be against Leinster or La Rochelle? And that's even just assuming they get over the Bulls, although we don't know what squad they'll send.
Yeah, it's very hard to know. You know, going on the form they've shown this year, you'd be a fool to write them off. They've, like I said, they're not top of the Premiership for no reason. You know, I remember, God, it must be, you know, almost 4 or 5 years ago now, Leinster had Northampton in the pool stages of Europe, and we hockeyed them home and away. This is very clearly not the same Northampton team, even if it has some of the same players in it. Can they beat Leinster or La Rochelle in the semi-final? I They can. I don't think they will. Whether it's Leinster or whether it's La Rochelle, I just think both of those teams have far too much experience of knockout rugby. They have far too much experience of getting it done on days like this. Is it impossible for Northampton to pull a rabbit out of the hat and get the job done? No, I don't think it is. Just based on the quality they have in that team, particularly that back where we spoke of Laws and Ludlam, those are the kind of players that could just wreck your head and make whatever game plan you wanted to play immaterial. I think the thing they'll focus on at this point in time is the Bulls. The Bulls had an absolute barnstorming run across Lyon, admittedly in Pretoria. It'll be very interesting now to see what kind of squad they send down for that quarter final. Given, as you said yourself, that they do have Munster the following week back down in Pretoria, so that would be two quite lengthy trips for any squad to make
It would be
over.
4 and 4 weeks because they had Leinster
Yeah,
and it's
they had. Yeah,
Leinster
no, you're right.
down to
Yeah.
Pretoria, back up to Franklin's Gardens and then back down to Pretoria again.
Yeah, I mean it's an incredible amount of international travel for a squad of players to go through. That said, I don't know. I mean, this Bulls team, this is the quarterfinals of Europe, and I think if the way the Stormers have comported themselves in this competition is anything to go by, if the way the Bulls have comported themselves is anything to go by, I don't know if year one it was their major focus, but this year they seem to be really giving it everything they've got. Slightly hamstrung by the fact that if they even if they had home advantage, they would lose it in the semi-finals. But I would be surprised if a very strong Bulls team doesn't show up. I'd be surprised and disappointed if a very strong Bulls team doesn't show up down in Franklin's Gardens, because I think before Northampton have to worry about dealing with Leinster or La Rochelle, they should have to worry about dealing with what is a very, very good Bulls team containing some, incredible players. The likes of Curtly Aronson, the likes of Willie Larue, those are the exact kind of players we want to see playing in European quarterfinals. So can they beat Leinster or La Rochelle in a semi? Maybe, but I hope they have to really prove their worth to get past the Bulls in the quarters first.
Well, I'll say it as well. I do hope it's a proper matchup. And I'm not just put the Munster hat on. I hope the Bulls go full strength up in Northampton and, expel their energy. Take the Munster hat off. I also hope to do it because I think it'd be better for the competition. There's so many naysayers about South African teams. You see what happened yesterday. The Bulls weren't even at full strength either. All the talk about, oh, Lyon are tonight for the Bulls. Like, the Bulls had just other players out injured. Like, they've three international caliber hookers. By definition, they'll always have one of them, absent, at least. And I would love to see them send us proper side. I think with Northampton, I can see them potentially taking La Rochelle because I think La Rochelle, their form just it's just not great at the moment. They look very patchy. We might get onto them a bit in a little bit, but Leinster, I just don't see it, especially in Dublin. Incro Park, admittedly, and it wouldn't really be the home advantage factor, but do you really think Northampton are going to roll into Northampton or roll into Croke Park and win? To be honest, I don't really see it, to be honest. But we might just move on because we're moving into Leinster talk, and that's what we're going to get on to next anyway. Because on Saturday night in Dublin, yet another Leinster v Leicester European tale, but this time the home side ran out pretty impressive, comfortable 36-22 winners. Player of the match, Jameson Gibson-Park, running three early tries to set up the home side for a mouth-watering rematch with La Rochelle. Sorry, where did I get Rog in there,
La
huh?
Rocha.
And that will take place next Saturday. That's a 5:30 in Dublin. General sale tickets go on sale tomorrow, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of people from Connacht and Ulster that'll be looking to buy tickets for that one. David, I'll start with you again as the Leinster fan of the room. Like, yeah, no, yeah. Fair enough, it wasn't perfect. It was disjointed, but it was never really that close. Like, Leinster roll on to an eighth consecutive Heineken Cup quarter final. And in certain parts of their game, they laid down a bit of a marker.
Yeah, they did, and I at the start of this season, not at the start of the season, rather, but halfway through the season, Leinster got a new coach in the form of two-time World Cup winning head coach Jacques Nienaber.
Never, never heard of him,
We've all seen the phenomenal things he's done with South
huh?
Africa, and one of the things he seems to have a real focus on is this incredible rush defense. Now he's gone on record as saying that it would take the players 14, I think it was 14 weeks 14
2 weeks
games to
now.
get fully up to speed with that. And I think we're seeing both that it can be very effective, but that the weaknesses of a blitz defense are well known, and the right teams can take advantage of them. I thought in certain parts of that game, Leicester did. They were able to get chips in over the top. They were able to get to width. And I think, Leinster will look at those instances and go, okay, how do we make it so that they don't have that option anymore? Because if you go back a week, they played against the Bulls, and once again, very strong Bulls team that came to the RDS, and they only managed to get one try, and that was on counter attack. So I think it was definitive in the end. I think that's it was the final try for the Tigers came in about the 75th minute. So even the final scoreline might slightly flatter them to a degree, but I don't think Leinster will look back at that game and go, yep, that's grand job done. I think they'll look back at it and go, what did we do wrong there? How can we make this work better? Because as you said, it wasn't perfect. And a better team, a La Rochelle team, maybe even a Northampton team, will punish you for the kind of mistakes that Leinster made on that day. That being said, we can look positively to certain players. I think particularly Jameson Gibson-Park, who Murray Kinsella said on Twitter, it's mad to think that a few years ago this guy wasn't even starting for Leinster, because he is just playing some absolutely phenomenal rugby right now. Three tries in 30 minutes, in the first 30 minutes, was incredible. And we have these other players. I think Jack Conan had a phenomenal game off the bench. I know his first try was chalked off, but to almost get over the line within about 60 seconds of coming off the bench, and then to back it up with an actual score later on. Joe McCarthy to be running these. I think he's a lock forward and he's running strike plays. I thought individual players in the Leinster team played incredibly well. The problem on the day was that for some reason we just didn't seem to click as well together as we have before. If there's one positive to take from that, I would rather have that game against the Leicester Tigers team than against the La Rochelle team. I don't think it's a perform it's a they're I don't think their mistakes we're going to repeat 2 weeks in a row. But yeah, it was at the end of the day, you get a win like that in a round of 16. You can't really have that many complaints. I was at the game. I thought it was a very good crowd. I think we got up to about 40 odd thousand. It remains to be seen how many tickets can be sold. As you said, they go on sale tomorrow at 2 p.m. 7 day turnarounds are always very tough for large stadiums like the Aviva, but
I'd be
yeah.
confident of a good sellout there. And the only thing that holds it back maybe is the half five kickoff, because I think it makes it that little bit harder for fans from across the country.
It does.
But
It beats
apart
the
from
hell
that,
out.
it's a great time for a TV left.
It beats the hell out of an 8 p.m. kickoff. I'll say that.
That's
I'm not an old man. I'm still only 30 years old. But goddamn, get out of a game at 8 o'clock, and you're like, God, I'm ready to go to bed at this stage. It makes sense for television. It doesn't really make sense for fans in the stadium. So, I think half five is a much preferable time. And yeah, I mean, it's half five on a Saturday. People will have time to go out beforehand, have a bit of fun, go to the match, maybe go out afterwards, have a bit of fun too. So hopefully that can get more people involved, and I have no doubt that La Rochelle fans will travel. I saw a couple of them down in Cape Town at the Stormers game. If they can make it down there, I have no doubt they can make it to Dublin. So,
They might even stop off in Cork, like their head
like
coach
Mr.
will.
O'Gara himself, that's a really interesting one.
That
Ronan, for
is
those of you who don't
great
know,
shithousery.
Ronan O'Gara is going to spend the next week in Cork with the La Rochelle team, preparing for this match, in what is both, I'm sure, for the team, a very good decision, but also as a psych out move, an excellent call. So, no, yeah, to focus back at the Leinster game, look, it wasn't a perfect performance, but if that's what imperfection looks like, we'll take it on the day, and we will hopefully learn the lessons of it, and be prepared for what I have no doubt is going to be a much tougher game next week. You asked if a Northampton team can beat Leinster or La Rochelle. I actually weirdly think Northampton will have an easier time with La Rochelle than Leinster did, because what cannot be escaped is the fact that we faced them in two Champions Cup finals and we have come agonizingly close and fallen short both times. Yes, we beat them in the pool stages this year, but I think it's going to take a couple of more wins and maybe a couple of more knockout wins before that monkey is well and truly shifted.
Thing. It kind of the Leinster La Rochelle thing kind of reminds me of every time an Irish team was drawn to play against Claremont, and for a couple of years it was like every year or every three out of every 4 years. And it was just like, okay, that's the one game we're probably not going to win. We're going to have to focus on other games because no one wins in Claremont. And for Leinster La Rochelle, it almost felt like, well, yeah, Leinster, they don't, you know, they kind of don't beat La Rochelle. But at the same time, like, I don't think La Rochelle are as good as they were. And I've said this all season and people have laughed me off, but I don't think any of the main contenders are as good. I think they've all come back to the chasing pack a bit. Leinster, for obvious reasons, they lost their head coach, they lost their cap, or sorry, the assistant coach, they lost their captain, you know, new coaching staff in there. I think for Toulouse, they've just had so many injuries this season. It's made them a little bit disjointed, as good as now as they can be. I think with La Rochelle, they've also had the injuries. Audrey took time off. Their World Cup, post-World Cup form was pretty poor as well. And it's really, really interesting to see how it goes. But like, on the flip side, like Leinster probably haven't regressed as much as the others. I think they're starting to hit their straps. When you look at the likes of Robbie Henshaw, for instance, Joe McCarthy had a big game, Jameson Gibson-Park, and take a shot whenever we mention on this podcast after a Leinster Ireland game, Hugo Keenan again was everywhere. And like, that's a good thing. And, you know, David, just a little bit more from you. You were going to jump in there.
Yeah, just the one thing I would say in La Rochelle's favour is that, particularly I thought after watching the Stormers game, I had a friend ask me after the weekend of games, having missed most of them, which ones he should watch back. And a lot of people, I know, would have said the La Rochelle Stormers game because it was a thrilling game. I think it's only really worth watching if you don't already know the scoreline, because the quality of the rugby was okay, but it wasn't stunning. The thing about this La Rochelle team is that they're just incredibly dogged. And
they're a great cup team.
In a not joking way, they're very similar to Munster. They just know how to cling on by the tips of their fingernails and get the job done. So while I think you're probably right in that Leinster possibly haven't regressed quite as far as them, I think they're a team who are more than capable of overcoming regression in the 80 minutes that they need to. And you might look back at the game and go, how did that team beat that team? And it would just be because this team knows how to win matches. They know how to win cup rugby. For a long time, you know, Leinster did too. And to be fair, Leinster do. They routinely get to finals. It's that last furlong against this team that just know how to win. That makes it incredible. I mean, I think this game, if they had lost, it would have been the first knockout game they lost aside from a final in 3 years. They know how to win knockout rugby. And that's why, you know, no matter how far I might feel they've regressed in their top 14 performances or in their pool performances in the Champions Cup, you know, it's impossible to take anything for granted against this team.
That's absolutely the case. And Adam, I was going to get your take on Leinster, but like, just probably should mention, like, Leicester weren't bad. I thought Leinster or Leicester, I'm going to call them Tigers. It's easier. I thought Tigers were really good up front. Like, I thought James Cronin, Dan Cole against Andrew Porter and Tyke Furlong. It was a decent old tete-a-tete in terms of scrum, in terms of around the park. But for Leinster, and we mentioned those names, Gibson Park, Keenan, Henshaw, McCarthy, could throw in maybe Osborne in the mix, throw in Baird in the mix, Doris, defensively. That's where, if they hit that gear, there is only going to be one winner. And that's probably the thing. It's probably in some ways the downside of the round of 16 is, like Bordeaux, as funny as it is watching them put 50 points on Saracens, and Leinster and La Rochelle, different, but they had to go to South Africa. When these teams hit that top gear, there's only going to be one winner. And once Leinster hit it in that mid first half, it was kind of like, right, game's over, but we just have another hour or whatever to go.
Yeah. To put 22 points on Leinster in Dublin, you know, they have put up a fight, just purely based on scoreline alone. Well, as well as actually team performance, because I'm looking at the team performance here, and like, you know, their top five hit like 26 meters above. Like, I think the thing about beating Leinster as an Ulster fan who's seen us getting lamped time after time, and the odd time that we do, is just that you have to catch them on a bad day. And that's like the biggest testament in knockout rugby for Leinster. I think when David mentioned about La Rochelle being known about how to win cup rugby games, Leinster are the exact same. They just know how to go through routine. If something goes wrong, tweak the routine a little bit, go for it again, and it happens. But to, like, for Gibson Park to score a hat trick in 30 minutes, in the first half, it's just absolutely incredible. Like, for a scrum half to be hitting 91 meters in a game as well, it's like the stuff of dreams. If you have a scrum half that would play most of the game, run 91 meters, and he'd probably still be grand at the end of the game. He's just an absolute machine. And yeah, Ryan Baird, he's brilliant. I think Joe McCarthy, he's some talent. Joe McCarthy and Ryan Baird, like both of them together. I just think that Leinster have a really nice machine that if I was a Leinster, as an outsider looking in, I would love it. I would love to win games and still go. There's more to come from this team and there's more to iron out. And you want to be facing the best teams in the world, like maybe not La Rochelle straight away, but to test and to actually prove that you're in it and to actually win it. And to send a message to Northampton is just get through to this game. Whatever team wins it, you're going to show, and you're probably going to have, I don't know, it's going to be a heavy hitting game. So there's going to be a few knocks from that game. And when's the semi-final supposed to be?
It's the weekend of the 4th of May.
Weekend of the 4th of May. So you still have a couple of games in the URC in between then. It's whether or not now would you go straight for the Champions Cup, David? I know you want to win it. I know you want to win it all as a Leinster fan, but...
Surely Leinster aren't sending a full-strength squad to South Africa. I don't imagine.
Yeah, I wouldn't think.
They'll send like their normal URC team that has your Mills, Deegan, Penny, Harry Byrne, you'd assume, or maybe not Harry Byrne, but what you're sending.
After that Bulls win, I think, yeah. If we'd lost that game, it would have been a bit different, but now we've got that win, we've got a bit of distance, I think, yeah, we'll feel more comfortable. And I also think that the real thing there is, yes, we will send a weaker team down, and it would be nice to send down a full-strength team, particularly to face the Stormers in Cape Town. But at the same time, I think a lot of the players we're going to send down are going to be the same players we sent down last year, except a lot of them are going to have an extra season's worth of experience. You know, like Michael Milne, people like Sam Brendagast, people like Rob Russell, you know, these players who would have been almost complete neophytes last year are now going to be guys who've put in a lot more minutes. You might have, you know, a couple of more people like Ben Brownlee and Henry McAleen, possibly with less under their belts. But, you know, I think those players we send down are going to have more time. But no, Rothburn's not traveling down. You know, Pike Furlong is not traveling down. No. Hugo Keenan is not traveling down.
Am I right in saying that Leinster sent a fairly strong squad for the first game and then sent home a couple of guys then after that to help with training? And that's why the Bulls game was so weakened?
I don't think so. I think it was fairly...
Maybe it was 2 years ago they might have done that.
It might have been 2 years ago. Last year, it was fairly young because that was why we were really surprised that they beat the Lions.
And that's right. Yeah, no, it was. Yeah. Come think of it, they were really young against the Lions and turned them over in a really good performance. That's correct.
And weirdly, this year, we're going to face the Lions again. We're switching from the Bulls to the Stormers. We do face the Lions again. And as much as I enjoyed the Lions win last year, I don't know if it's going to be as much of a gimme this year because the Lions have been playing much better.
And they kind of canned it in the Challenge Cup as well, which we'll get on to. But I am conscious of kind of time and not want to focus too much on URC. So we'll just move on to the results from the Champions Cup. 8 games in total. Started off Friday night, Harlequins 28, Glasgow 24 in a proper unserious matchup there. Unserious in a different regard for the Bulls against Leon, 59-19 win for the home side in Pretoria. Exeter pipped Bath 21-15 in the middle game, but I think all eyes were on the Stormers against La Rochelle. As David mentioned, went down to the wire, not the greatest spectacle, but 22-21 with Manny Libbock, who was the hero of the pool game, missing a last gas conversion. You couldn't write it, really. The evening game gave us all a good laugh as your Union Bordeaux Begla hammered Saracens 45-12, and that scoreline not reflective of Saracens at all. Leinster, as we mentioned, 36-22 victors over Leicester Tigers. Northampton beat Munster 24-14, that's still hard to say. And Toulouse, 31-7 winners over Racing. You may not have known because the stream went on TNT Sport with about 10-15 minutes to go, and they scored another 2 or 3 tries after that, which is a shame for those who are absolutely glued to it. Adam, I'll come to you first. Is there any of those games or results that you just want to touch on before we move on?
Well, yeah, I would say the Toulouse thrashing Racing would be quite a big one. And also Bath losing, but Bath losing was due to, I would say, Finn Russell coming off in the first half, and that sort of dismantled it a little bit. Harlequins v Glasgow, and this is the one I want to touch on, I think shows how Glasgow are actually, because I remember Glasgow growing up in certainly the Champions Cup, they never really tried to perform, in my opinion anyway, because they always sort of went for league trophies rather than going for European glory. But it's good to see them putting Harlequins to the wire. I really enjoy that. Because I want to see URC teams do well, and you know, them pulling in the pressure into Harlequins, it's just a it's a nice wee result. Like, they lost, but I do enjoy seeing it, them putting in a good performance like that.
Absolutely. And then the quarterfinal ties that we'll see next weekend start Saturday at 3 p.m. on TNT Sport with Union Bordeaux Begla against Quins. The marquee game, 5:30 in the Aviva Stadium in Dublin, Leinster against La Rochelle, the repeat of the repeat of the repeat of the repeat, I suppose. That evening then, that one's on RT2 for those of you who will not be attending. Saturday at 8 p.m. is Northampton Saints against the Vodacom Bulls. That's on TNT as well. And Sunday is Toulouse against the Exeter Chiefs. David, Leinster La Rochelle, we'll touch on that next week in proper detail. Of the other three games, what stands out to you? And can you just give us a kind of one word as who you think will win those games?
I think the one to watch of those three is probably Northampton and the Bulls. I think that's the one we're most likely to see a bit of an upset. As I don't think, Exeter have a bit of pedigree in the competition. Obviously, they've won it more recently than any Irish team has. But Toulouse back with Antoine Dupont and Romain Antimac in the saddle at home, I just can't see it, that any other way than with a Toulouse win. Likewise, the way Bordeaux are playing this year, even without, I think Jalibert is injured at the moment, isn't he? Even
He is,
without
yeah.
him, Harlequins were good, but they were one bounce. I think it was the very last bounce of the game. There was a chip kick across from Glasgow, and if that goes to hand, that game goes a completely different way. So I can't see that one going any other way than Bordeaux's way either. So if you absent the game of the weekend, which is Leinster La Rochelle, I think Northampton v Bulls would be a very interesting one because it's a Northampton team that are performing at the highest point they've been at for maybe, God, I don't know, 5 years at least. And then versus the possibility of a South African team making it all the way to the semi-finals of Europe, which I think would be pretty cool for the competition.
Completely agree there. We'll move on to the Challenge Cup next because there was two Irish teams involved and two Irish winners. Firstly, in Montpellier in the GGL Stadium, Richie Murphy's Ulster, despite being somewhat depleted, well, they overcame a very early outburst, but it was an outburst of a different kind from Montpellier, I think. 40 points to 17 winners there. And Adam, I think you were probably the only one of us to watch this one live. A bit of a statement win for Ulster, I think it's fair to say, but like Montpellier did not help themselves either. How did this just kind of briefly, how did this one unfold?
So we were weak in the first half. I would say at the minute Ulster fans are a bit critical of Addison, and he did try and call a mark and then drop the ball at the line, which then could, led to a try. And then, the second try was also a little bit of a just a defensive wobble. I think Addison at 15 is a bit, he's a bit too slow to be a 15, like fullback, at the minute. And then the second half, I have to say, I don't think I've ever seen a weirder second half in my life. Thank goodness Ulster won it. But to score how many, got through like 30, 32 unanswered points or something like that, was incredible. The red card from Williams, was it not Williams? Name's
Williamson.
left me. Yeah, it's Williams. Yeah, the red card from Williams. He's just, we all know what he's like. He just absolutely lost the head and just nearly took off Addison's head almost. And then since then, we just started scoring tries. Started scoring tries for fun. It was really good to see because our backs played really nice rugby. Balakun, Is starting to get back into fine form, which is lovely to see because, of course, he's had a very absent season, to be honest. And then Scott Wilson came on. He scored relatively quite a powerful try for a young tight head, just pushed over the line. And then he nearly scored another one, but it was held up like literally 5 minutes after. David McCann, he's at the minute my player of the season. Unbelievable. Just, it wouldn't surprise me if he was in that Ireland summer squad. He put the hit rate he puts in for tackles, the amount of effort he puts into rucks. Then again, saying in the first half that the rucking game wasn't that good. We were sort of sluggish, got beaten off the ball multiple times. Ironically enough, I thought it was Kitsoff's best game for us. Which is weird to say. It just had to take a wee announcement to say that he's leaving to have a 7 out of 10 performance, I would say. He's been sort of hitting that middle all the other games, but very solid win. They were down to 12 men at one point, and we just started scoring for fun. I want to mention this because I said it on Twitter. The last try, I don't know if any of you've seen this. Have any of you seen the
No,
last?
I haven't caught highlights. I literally went from one game to the other today.
Fair enough. Basically, Will Addison makes a run. No, Ballacoon makes a run originally, passes it to Addison. Addison runs up through the middle, forward passes it to Jake Flannery. Forward pass, but
Jesus.
Jake Flannery ran to the corner, like ran straight to the corner, and then tried to pass it to Ballacoon, but the winger slapped it down, deliberate knock on. And I don't know what Ben Whitehouse's ideas were going through his head, but he said the pass was really, really flat. But everybody online, and I even said this, it was like him passing it forward in front of him. But he was just basically like, oh yeah, that deliberate knock-on was too bad. And then he called for a penalty try. This was at the 80th minute. Called for a penalty try, sent off a player, and then proceeded to call full time. And I was just like, this is the most
Oh, Ben.
Ben Whitehouse gave like four cards in that second half. And at one point, yeah, we were playing 12 men. And it was just bizarre. But you know what? As an Ulster fan, we haven't had many wins, especially in France over the years. We've had famous wins in France. I take a win against Montpellier like that. I take 40 points. I absolutely love it. We need to revel in this. I know.
And just on that, I know it's good to enjoy it, and don't get me wrong, like it's a big win for Ulster. It's a big boost, as you said. Like obviously Kitsoff leaving, there's been McFarland has left, Johnny Petrie has left. Not quite as much agony over those, but like it's Clermont next in the Stade Marcel Michelin on Saturday, and then Edinburgh or the Sharks in semi-final. Now, I haven't gotten clarification on whether that Sharks game would be in South Africa if they were to play them, or in Europe, like it is for the Champions Cup. We'll wait and see. But like it feels like a real opportunity here because Clermont are not what they were, and a URC team away from home, you can definitely win that in the semi-final, can't
Oh
you?
yeah. Yeah, I think I'm starting to see more of our back line for what it's worth, how many injuries we went through. I think there was about three injuries, including John Andrew in the sort of bench as well. I know no John Andrew coming in, I know he's a forward, but I feel like all those players that were playing, like Stuart Muir, unreal, but it was the closest I've seen backline wise to when we were playing really well over COVID. Do you know when we were playing sort of that free flowing offload rugby and it was really nice and slick? And that's what we need to get back to be playing. I've said this multiple times in this podcast. We play really forward centric ball, and that's good when you have a big pack, but we don't. We need to sort of supply the ball to the back line. Let what we did today, Robert Ballacoon was hitting form, and that's what we need to see, especially coming into next week. We've won at Clermont before, recently, semi-recently. We know what to do. Clermont's top 14 is about the same way as our URC season's going, but we've had more dilemma. But on paper, we could push Clermont away. I'd say especially if we get Sharks and it's in Europe, which would be interesting because I think the Cheetahs not in South Africa.
I have no idea.
I think they were in Bloemfontein, because we would have had a big romantic. He would have. Oh no, actually, no, he wasn't. They
No,
were in France. They were in
it was in
France because they were
France,
in.
yeah.
Yeah, because
Okay.
if they would have beaten Clermont, Pienaar would have made his last return to Ravenhill. I do fully believe that we could beat Clermont, and it's really nice to be optimistic as an Ulster fan, and certainly the run up. I'd say if the Sharks do play in Europe, we would have a really good chance of beating them. It would be interesting to see. Was it the Cheetahs that played in Amsterdam this year?
It
For
was, yeah.
group stages, yeah. It'd be really interesting to see where they put it, if they put it in like Amsterdam again, or if they put it in Portugal. It'd be really good to put it in a developing rugby nation, just to show how, here's what could happen in this country if they progress. But as an Ulster fan, and also as I said before, I'm a Spurs fan. If I see Ulster in a final at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, and if we lose, it'd probably be the funniest thing ever. Not on the day, but looking back on it. But I think with Richie at the minute, he's 3 weeks in. He's a South Africa tour and a France away win in. It's pretty good going. It's pretty good going, and it's nice to be positive about Ulster again because we did play well. And somebody said on Twitter, "Oh, Ben Whitehouse did give so and so amount of cards, but at the end of the day, you can only play what's in front of you."
And
And
it
normally,
was 40 points to 17. Like, I don't think it
oh
made much of
yeah,
a difference.
exactly. Oh no, and the Montpellier completely lost their head, and they just looked unfit. I know that they're having a particularly bad top 14 season, so I'm not exactly sure what's going on there, but. The stadium was pretty empty as well, which is interesting because Montpellier is one of those big names in rugby that you just think of,
Great. The
especially for
French
fan
don't really
bases.
do Challenge Cup. They'll do Champions Cup. Challenge Cup,
Yeah.
not for them.
That's sort of why I'm hoping that Clermont might not put up more of a fight and they'll try and battle for. But as an Ulster fan as well, I think you'd say this about the Sharks as well, but it's probably our best chance of getting in Champions Cup rugby. I think it's really close around that eighth mark. Well, no,
I
for
think you'll
Sharks
be
it is.
safe enough with your next 3 games are like Scarlets,
Yeah,
Benetton, and
yeah.
Cardiff. So
Yeah,
go
but
on.
Benetton, yeah, no, Benetton are playing really well this season. Yeah, no, we're pretty much safe, but I would just love to win it. I'd just love to win it. And I think Sharks would put out a good team against us, and hopefully we can get some revenge there if we do beat Clermont, of course.
I think the one thing that we'll all take away from that, apart from the Ben Whitehouse talk and Ulster kind of being back, is isn't it great that there's going to be proper teams playing in Spurs for a
Yeah,
change? There's
yeah,
that
yeah,
element to it as well. I do want to
yeah.
get to Connacht before we wrap up, because literally just finished just before we hit record. They went to Poe. They have been off colour recently. They were kind of off colour during the game, but 40-33 winners in the end with, that's not right, I don't think. Is it? Was it
No, it's
40-39?
40. Was it
40-30.
40-30?
40-30, sorry. I knew that was wrong. 40-30 win for Connacht. We player of the match, Bundiaki, helping him get over the line on his birthday, no less. Happy birthday, Bundiaki. David, like, Connacht, again, yeah, they weren't at their best, but like it's a big win. It's a huge win for their season. Like, watching it was this one, what did you make of their performance and the game as a whole?
I would echo what you said. It's an absolutely huge win for Connacht. Wins away in Europe do not come easily to that team. The one thing I would say about Connacht is that, having had friends who support them and having watched them fondly for years, they are an immensely frustrating team to watch at times, because Connacht, when they are on form, can sort of, as they just did today, they can score 40 points away against a French team. And look very good doing it, but some of the defensive errors in that match will haunt the coaching staff, will definitely haunt some of the players. There was a try scored. I think it was Bundy actually who tried to do a 1-2 and whipped the ball back, and Caelan Blade wasn't where he thought Caelan Blade was going to be, and there's a fly half through, and suddenly they've conceded 7 points. To fight back the way that they did in the end was titanic. It was almost better for them psychologically than if they just won it handily. But I think I think the thing about this kind of team is they can do that. When their players are on song, you know, I thought Shane Jennings had a great game. I thought, you know, Cian Prendergast had a great game. Obviously, Bundiaki had a great game. JJ Hannerin had a great cameo off the bench. The frustrating thing about Connacht is the lack of consistency, both game to game and over 80 minutes. So it's a phenomenal win. I think they'll go next week. They're going back to Benetton, going back to Stadio Meningo. It's an opportunity to get a bit of revenge for the last time they were there.
The
And
last two
I,
times, well, that's where they ended their Challenge Cup dream last
yeah,
year.
yeah. So, you know, I mean, if you could say nothing, you could say they know what they're walking into, they know what they're facing into. They're very familiar with that Benetton team. So, that should be a very good clash. I think possibly that will be one of the clashes of the Challenge Cup quarterfinals. But I think it'll be a huge test of this Connacht team to see if they can have the kind of consistent performance that you need to have. And that's the tricky thing about knockout rugby, particularly in that we've gone to the round of 16. You have to be able to win with a bit of a gap between some of them. You have to be able to win four knockout games on the trot. And I think that will be a huge test of this Connacht team. If they can pull it off, it'll be absolutely incredible for the province. Even more so than winning silver usually is, because they are a good team. That's the frustrating thing with Connacht. They are a very, very good team. It's consistency that they struggle with. But I think they can hold their heads up high walking out of this game. Going to France is not easy. Going to France in a knockout in knockout games in Europe is not easy. And I think if players like Bundiaki and JJ Hannerin and Cian Prendergast can perform in that game again, I think there's murmurings that they might have Mac Hansen back, they might have John Porch back, they might even have Santi Cordero back. If they can get to the semi-finals, then hey, it's 180 minutes, 160 minutes of rugby, and you've got a trophy in the cabinet. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be, I would imagine, no less nerve-wracking than watching Conor Devereux, but it'll be, either way, I think it'll be a lot of fun.
I think you've touched on everything we're going to touch on there. Like, it's a huge opportunity for the province to get a bit of silver that they don't win that often. And like, realistically, when we heard about like the Irish Shield and the Shields of the URC, we thought this could be a great opportunity for everyone to win silverware. Realistically, it's not, you know, because you it's only then do you realize how one-sided interpros and derby matches tend to be, even if the result isn't, but the or even if the game isn't, the results usually are. And I do think it's a big opportunity for Connacht. The one thing that frustrates me is if they go and make a Challenge Cup final this year, it's actually going to make last year look worse because they had as easy of a path. Like this year, it'll be Benetton away, which is, don't get me wrong, that's a really tough game. Then Gloucester or Ospreys. Like that's an easier path than what they would have had last year. Okay. But like if they had to go to Toulon with a chance of going to a European final in Dublin, you'd have backed them. And like that was the thing. There was a European final in Dublin. There was going to be a huge Connacht crowd there regardless. And they kind of fluffed their opportunity there. But that being said, they can't let this opportunity pass either. I think the hardest game of those could well be Benetton. Do you know, going to Benetton, their record at home is phenomenal. They've taken Connacht, they drew up Munster, they've beaten South African teams, they've beaten, I think they beat Edinburgh there, or they beat Glasgow, one or the other, in that stadium. They don't lose many home games. It's a huge one for Connacht. And as you said, David, going into May, then when the semi-finals are, they could get Mac Hansen back. They could well have Santi Cordero back. I'm not too sure on that. John Porch is training. Like these guys, that can be a difference maker. Shane Jennings, really, really good today. No doubt about that. Thought Shane Bolton did well while he was on the field. Tom Farrell was brilliant off the bench. The more options, the better. You know, you want players pushing and like, granted, Connacht need cohesion, but like you're not going to say no to Mac Hansen and Santi Cordero coming back from injuries either at the same time. I do want to, Adam, I'll hand you the kind of results and predictions because I do want to wrap things up. Firstly, the housekeeping, the Challenge Cup results, Gloucester 30, Cass 25. I think it's all, sorry, only two away wins in the Challenge Cup, both by Irish teams. So that kind of puts the performance into a bit of context. Clermont 27, Cheetahs 22, Benetton 27, Emirates Lions 17. Arguably one of the results of the round. Ospreys 23, Sale Sharks 15, and a pretty comprehensive 23-15 at that. Edinburgh 33, Bayonne 15, Montpellier 17, Ulster 40, as we touched upon. Hollywood Beth Sharks 47, Zebra Parma 3, Hull 30, Connacht 40. Next weekend, all games on TNT. As of right now, we believe they're on TNT Sport. I don't know if that's subject to change or not. Friday night, 8 p.m., Gloucester against the Ospreys. The winner of that will take on the winner of Benetton against Connacht. It's on Saturday, two games at 1:30 p.m., Hollywood Beth Sharks against Edinburgh and Claremont Auvergne against Ulster. And on Sunday, at the same time, at 1:30, it's Benetton against Connacht. Adam, we'll just focus on the Irish teams here. Two away games, two tough teams to beat on the road. What a huge, huge opportunity for them.
I would absolutely love if both teams win. Do you know what? I want to say this as I'm not really watching much Challenge Cup when Ulster aren't in it. The strength of all the teams are so... It's actually really good for Challenge Cup.
It's more competitive than the Champions Cup. Yeah.
I would love to see an Ulster Connacht final. You know, if that would happen, do you know what I mean? I would like two very big opportunities, two massive... Well, Claremont v Ulster is going to be a massive game. And yeah, as you said, Benetton Connacht, huge. Connacht, I would say it could scrape that win 100%. Ulster could do as well. I think we just need to improve on first half performance before we do anything else to completely solidify, because I don't want to go two tries down at Claremont. Because basically they're we all know that they're like 16th man is the stadium. I would love to see an Ulster Connacht win. And I think we could do it. I think both of the teams could do it. 100%, yeah.
That's a huge opportunity, to use that word again. I'm not going to paraphrase Rog again because it didn't really work last time I did it on this podcast. But a huge opportunity for those two and for Leinster as well. And like, I might be disappointed. I might be basically disappointed, and a small percentage of me wants you all to lose next weekend. I want you all to lose this weekend. But that's just the sour grapes of literally the same day as a defeat. But at the same time, huge chance. And you know, these players are more than good enough, and these squads are more than good enough. I think we're at the position now where, unless Leinster get pipped by a really good La Rochelle performance, and unless Connacht or Ulster get pipped really well in a semi-final, we need two Irish teams in the final. Like, I think that's the way it is, with the way the draw is, the way the seas have parted in some ways. I think that's the way we're looking at it. And even at that, like, three new head coaches in these teams, which is remarkable too in their own right. Isn't a head coach. I keep forgetting, but like, he is.
Senior coach,
yes. Those titles only dictate who gets paid what and all that. Sure, we know that anyway. But we'll leave it at that, folks. And thanks you to Adam and to David for joining me. As I said, I'll be back midweek. I'll have an article looking at Munster, unfortunately, falling out of Europe, as well as the Red Army podcast be back this week to talk about all things Munster Northampton. Again, it won't be too easy, but we'll plow on through. David, Adam, thank you very much. We'll be back next week looking at Leinster against La Rochelle, Claremont against Ulster, and Benetton against Connacht, as well as briefly touching upon the other games in the Champions Cup. If you do like what you see or hear, if you want to be back again next week, please do subscribe. If you really like the podcast, and it's doing really well at the moment, so thank you very much for that, please do leave your review, because it makes a huge difference. Or if you're watching on YouTube, a comment and review can make a huge difference as well. But for now, until next time, the Irish go marching on. Until next time, take it easy.
Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.